Welcome to the world of productive laziness with myself, Peter Taylor, the Lazy Project Manager.
The Lazy Project Manager is sponsored by Tailwind Project Solutions. If you're looking for more reliable project delivery, better credibility with your clients, more efficient and effective practices, and a sound development path for your team, then get in touch. We make a difference to the way your business runs projects. From setting up project academies, coaching, mentoring, workshops, health checks, and much more. See our website, tailwindps.com, or email alex.marson@tailwindps.com to find out how we can support your business.
Welcome to another podcast with myself, Peter Taylor, and it's been an exciting month. As you know from the previous podcast, my new book, How to Get Fired at the C-Level, Why Mismanaging Change is the Biggest Risk of All, it was launched, and it seems to be going quite well. Has some good comments and compliments from people. I think it's achieving what we set out to achieve as far as where we're pitching at the C-level executives, at the leaders of our project-driven industries and organisations around the world. So I can't say I'm unhappy with what's happening. But, you know, if you have a chance to check it out, read the book, place a review on Amazon or anywhere else, or give me feedback. Tell me you love it. Tell me you hate it. All these things, I think, would be very, very interesting and very useful. And we want to get the word out there. Remember, the purpose of the book is to challenge the highest level in our organizations, in our businesses, the boardrooms, the executives, the C-level, whatever you want to call them, to challenge them to understand that there are challenges to being successful with regards to project-based activity. It doesn't mean, I mean, there's some really good organizations out there. There are some that totally get what's going on. But there are others, I think, who are being a little less understanding, perhaps a little less, how can I put this, you know, a little less focused on the realities. They kind of do the upfront work, but they don't necessarily do or put in place the right foundation for success. And I've certainly, you know, I've heard from many of you project managers around the world where, you know, that is the case. There are some weaknesses in the project-based structure inside organizations right now. So let's check it. Let's see what we can do. Let's kind of check that all out and see if we can, you know, promote the conversation, push the argument, start the conversations at the highest level. But before we talk more about that, I have an interview. I have an interview with a gentleman from Australia, because one of my, you know, I have many enjoyable times. I've had many great experiences at conferences around the world, but I kind of have a particular love for Australia because it's such a wonderful country, and I love going out there. All Australia PMI conference is going to be held in Sydney later on in May, and I had a chance to talk to the Sydney PMI president. So that's what we're going to listen to right now. Right, welcome to a guest from the other side of the planet. So I'm in the UK, and I have with me Benjamin Howell, who's on the other side of the world, as I said, in Sydney, Australia. Ben, welcome to the Lazy Project Manager podcast.
And thank you, Peter, for having me.
Yeah, great. So Benjamin's here, or Ben. It's okay, I call you Ben?
Ben's fine.
Ben's fine, great. So Ben's here particularly to talk about, a bit later on we're going to talk about the fact, his role as PMI President, Sydney Chapter, and the upcoming Australian conference, which are always very special events. In my own experience, I was very fortunate enough to be a speaker at the inaugural All Australia conference in Sydney in 2013. I was out there in 2016 in Adelaide, and now it's back in Sydney, Ben. So you can tell us all about that, yeah?
It is, yes, I certainly will.
Okay, perfect. So why don't you introduce yourself a little bit more to the listeners, and what I want to talk about after that is, if you're okay, is to talk a little bit about kind of the state of project management in Australia, because I guess a lot of people have their own experiences, but it's always good to hear about what's happening in other parts of the world.
Certainly. So I've basically had about 21 years of experience, predominantly an IT person. So the way I've come through is started off as an analyst programmer, then became a BI consultant, got into a lot of business analysis and led requirements teams through that, and transitioned into project, program, and portfolio management as a result. So generally in my day job, I'm a program and portfolio manager and do a lot of consulting gigs. I'm about to start with a pharmaceutical in a couple of weeks and help them out, particularly with some change management and things as well, which is something more newer to me and quite interesting. So that's essentially been my background there. But PMI, I serve in a voluntary capacity. So as you said, I'm the president and chief executive of PMI Sydney chapter. So the two largest chapters in Australia are from Sydney and Melbourne. We have state-based chapters here in Australia as opposed to the UK. So we've got over 1,630 members. So when I took over just over a year ago, we were about 1,450. So we've got a good upward trend on our membership, which we're hoping the conference will assist us with continuing to grow there. So a lot of IT people predominantly, but also building construction, you know, getting some aerospace and, you know, farmers and different types of industries and stuff as well. So that's a bit of background about me and what...
So Ben, that's really interesting. I think it's one of the great things about project management that you don't end up in a kind of... My background has been IT very much, but I've worked in many, many industries, pretty much most industries apart from, I'd say, construction. But I think, you know, in project management, you can bring lots of people together from diverse industries and experiences with a kind of a common connection. And I think it's great that, you know, the kind of membership is going that direction.
Yes, and that's the great thing as well. So, you know, from a business analysis background as well, you get to understand different businesses, and it's an industry not only in business analysis and project management where essentially you can throw us anywhere. So I've been in, you know, financials, I've worked in recruitment, I've worked in pharmaceuticals, I've worked in defence, etc. You know, you work for Kronos, for example. I've done a lot of things around award interpretation and stuff here for a recruitment company in Sydney. So there's something, you know, common we've got in that capacity, for example. But project management is just something so diverse, and I was actually talking to our social media person for the conference today. I said, please don't refer to it as an industry. Think of it as a profession, because, you know, you can, you know, planning a wedding, you can use project management techniques to do that. You know, I used to be president of the Military History Society of New South Wales, and I can employ project management to explain, you know, what happened at the Battle of Waterloo, for example. So, you know, there's great things, and it's just something that you can use across health or whatever industry and can use in all walks of life.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's touch on, you know, the kind of state of project management in Australia, because, you know, as I said, I think I first came out in 2011, I think was the first time I've been out there. Now, obviously, from my point of view, I've connected with an increasing number of people. I've seen the growth of the conferences in their, you know, its breadth, attendance, and even sophistication in the kind of subject matter that's being provided. But yeah, do you think Project Management Australia is getting there, or has got there, or whereabouts do you think it is on the kind of maturity curve?
Yeah, certainly increasing on the maturity curve. You know, each state has different, you know, types of industries, etc., which are more prominent than others. So, for example, in Western Australia, we had a mining boom that's starting to decline now, but you've got some, you know, massive organisations like Chevron, etc., that were doing, you know, great stuff across there. You know, Sydney is very strong on financial services and all those sorts of things, but I think one of the things that our 2017 Pulse of the Profession report is showing, and previous ones from PMI as well, is that the main thing is we've gone beyond, you know, the triple constraint. So, you know, time, cost and quality is good, but if you produce something on time, on budget and, you know, to the right quality, but at the end of the day your user doesn't accept it, you've done everything technically great as a project manager, but your customer hasn't liked it, so that's no good. So I think from the maturity perspective, you know, PMOs are starting to, you know, become more to the fore, and particularly things like enterprise PMOs. So we're starting to look at the organisation holistically and strategically, and sort of what are we doing across the board, what should we do, and more importantly through strategy execution, what shouldn't we be doing as well. And a real focus on things like benefits realisation management as well, which Stephen Jenner, one of our conference speakers, has done a lot of stuff across the globe on. So I think that's the thing. We're starting to think about why are we doing it? And, you know, more agile practices and, you know, organizational agility as well, we're starting to more think about what is the value to the customer. Because unless the actual end person likes what you want, particularly in fast-moving times with, you know, products moving so quickly, particularly in the ICT space through innovation, etc. If you're too slow, but you've got, you know, technically a great product, but, you know, your competition's got there quicker and cheaper, and it's a better product, you know, tough luck. You're going to go the way of the dodo.
I totally agree. And that's interesting. So, you know, last year when I was out there in Adelaide, I was really excited because we, you know, I ran after the conference, I ran a one-day workshop on PMOs leadership, and we had a great group and a good, you know, a good number of people, very, you know, interested and engaged about PMOs, for example. And again, that to me is always a great sign of the kind of maturity state of project management.
Exactly, and you know, one of the things I do here is through the US, there's an organization called meetup.com. So, you know, groups of like-minded people can go and form up a group and talk about things. So in addition to my PMI work, I'm a member of our PMO meetup group here. So, you know, we were just basically investigating PMOs and basically, you know, how they can better, you know, survive and what they need to basically do to adapt to go forward. But if you focus on, you know, standardization project delivery frameworks, which can helpfully be achieved by, you know, having EPMOs in place as well, you know, it's going to, you know, increase your capability to actually deliver things properly, quicker and faster.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned just now the Pulse reports, and it is, I can't remember what it was, I think it was around 2012, just something radically changed as far as I was concerned with the Pulse of the Profession reports. They just, I'm not saying they were bad in beforehand, but they just became incredibly interesting and useful. And one of the big things I think you began to see some quantification of the state of project management out there. So, you know, I have enjoyed every Pulse report since then. I mean, the most recent one, for those people who may not have read it, and I do encourage people to go and find the Pulse report and have a read. Can you summarize the kind of key messages that came out on that one?
Certainly. So the PMI has what's called the Pulse of the Profession. So it's basically a state of the nation every year on how the industry and the profession and everything is tracking. So not only just looking at project management, but basically organisations and how they use project management. So it was first done in 2006, and the last one was actually, we actually had Mark Langley, our chief executive of PMI, come and launch that from Sydney as a global launch. So, you know, that was great news for us down under. And so the key messages basically are from about 2011-2012, we saw some key indicators drop. Which was not necessarily good signs. But what has been found this year is for the first time ever, it looks like we're actually starting to focus more on benefits and we're starting to get more projects delivered successfully. And that is through, as I said at the forefront, is that we're starting not only to think about the triple constraint, we're actually starting to think about the end value to the customer. And that is done through, you know, having maturity in your frameworks, etc., and particularly a focus on BRM and thinking about that up front and how not only are you going to measure it, but, you know, what you need to do through the process, through a program, and what you need to adjust as well to make sure that you're actually delivering what you'd plan to do.
Okay, brilliant. All right. Thank you. So why don't we move on now to the actual conference itself? Yeah, so, okay, let's start with simple stuff. You know, when is it, where is it? Well, it's in Sydney, obviously, but, you know, whereabouts in Sydney and when is it?
Okay, so the conference is on the 28th to the 30th of May in Sydney, so we're doing that at the Sheraton on the Park, which is right in the city. Now, the 28th is a Sunday. What we've got is there, we've got masterclasses happening on that day, so we're thought of the contractor, of which I'm one as well. You don't want to sort of forgo a day's pay when you're doing things to attend classes. So, you know, that's giving more people like contractors the opportunity to go and see masterclasses. So Stephen Jenner, who I mentioned before, is doing one of those masterclasses. We've also got Jim Emmerich, who's a global leadership coach, and a former US military pilot, coming across and doing some leadership masterclasses and stuff for us as well, and a number of other speakers as well. And then the conference proper on Monday, the 29th of May. So one of the good things is we're doing for the first time is we are having an academic track as well. So PMI has this thing called the Talent Triangle. So basically we look at aspects of technical project management, leadership and strategic and business acumen. And what we've done is we've also introduced an academic part to that as well. So there is a lot of universities globally which essentially seek PMI, you know, kudos and approval for their programs which they do. And so on that first day, it's essentially those universities in Australia that are approved or interested in getting that approval from PMI. is a day for them to basically go through what needs to be done there. And we've also called for a number of academic papers as well. So we've got a great academic outreach director, Dr. Lewis Taborda here, who works at Sydney University as well. So he and his team have been reviewing all the submissions. So all of those people that have successfully put forward papers will be presenting on that second day of the conference as well. And that's happening as a parallel stream to our other three ones on technical, strategic, and leadership, as I mentioned before. So should be great.
Okay. And so the theme for the conference?
The theme is called Level Up, Lifting the Game of Success. So essentially, it's in line with what we're doing with the Pulse of the Profession. So, you know, we've been doing things, we've been doing them well, but we can do them far better than we do now. So by, you know, standardizing your project delivery frameworks, by thinking about BRM and what you can do there, by increasing the leadership skills as well of your professional. So it's great to have a technical project manager, but as you appreciate in project management, 80% of our job is communicating. So, you know, you need the right skills in order to, you know, manage sideways, downwards and upwards as well. So it's great to have, you know, increased leadership acumen there. And whilst we may not be thinking about, you know, the formulation of the strategy, because that's done through others, as we're basically in the delivery space, you do need to have a good handle on what that strategy space is, because we are executing on the strategy through portfolios and programs as well.
Very good, very good. And I took a look at the speakers you've got there, and as you know, I'm on the road quite a bit and do conferences. So, you know, I've had the delight of presenting with Mark Dixon, Steve Jenner, Colin Ellis. Who else you got there? You got Annie Sheehan and quite a few others. So it's a good lineup. And you mentioned earlier on about benefits. So you've got Mr. Benefits there. I see Steve Jenner. I think he's one of the most famous people when it comes to speaking and writing about benefits realization. So that's an excellent session, I'm sure. On its own, I think it'd be very, very exciting.
Yes, and one of the main reasons why a project might fall over is through poor sponsorship. Now, a lot of organisations understand that you need a sponsor, but the poor sponsor hasn't necessarily had any training as to what that means. So on a lot of organisations, they sort of go, okay, CFO or whatever, you're it, without necessarily, you know, teaching the sponsor exactly what that means and what they're accountable for within the organisation as well. So one of our speakers is Ewan Stafford. Now, he is the Deputy Chief Financial Officer at Telstra, a large communications company here in Australia. Now, Ewan is basically going to speak about his experience, where he's gone, I used to be a sponsor and I wasn't all that good. So I went away and I thought about it and learnt how to do it, and now I basically mentor the sponsors at Telstra. So there's a good story of someone who's actually reflected back and gone, I didn't really know how to do this stuff optimally. How can I make it better? So there is a great success story and why Telstra is kicking a lot of goals in the project space because of the ability to sort of reflect and do things properly there as well. Mark Dixon, who you said, who's the global chair of PMI, who was elected last year, and proud to say he's a South Australian, so it's great to have a chairman, and this is an Aussie rallying Australia's cause throughout the world. We've also got Naomi Simpson, and she is the founding director and CEO of an organisation called Red Balloon. So that has been one of the online success stories here in Australia as well through the organisation she has. We've also got Pollen Ellis coming along as well, and a number of other speakers. A lot of diversity as well, so different industries, not just IT, different cultures, different, you know, genders, etc. So a great deal of diversity across the board. And people from overseas.
That's really, really good. And sponsor, I can't be there. I'd love to hear the a CFO talking about sponsorship and how he wasn't very good at it. That's amazing. I spoke last year in Adelaide at the breakfast meeting, and I summarised where I saw sponsorship, and I was one of the co-authors of Strategies for Project Sponsorship. We did some research, and the big numbers that came out were quite shocking. We interviewed a large number of organisations around the world, and very simply put, sponsorship can be summarized in three numbers: 85, 83, and 100. We found 85% of companies said yes, they had or recognized project sponsorship, leadership, executive leadership, or something of that nature. So they recognized it. The 15% that didn't were a bit worrying because they were doing projects, but pretty good. But astonishingly, 83% of those companies said they did absolutely nothing to train, develop, guide, support, help, mentor, or anything to their project sponsors. They just assumed they could magically do the job. And of course, a lot of them have reached senior positions in organizations without ever having gone through a true kind of project management background. And the killer was the last one. It wasn't really 100%. It was 99.5% of people said it was really, really important to have a good project sponsor to be successful. So you put those three numbers together, and that says that we are, well, I described it, we've left the world of the accidental project manager, but we're absolutely in the world of the accidental project sponsor. So that, to me, sounds like a very, very exciting talk.
Exactly, and I've been on, you know, both sides of that as well, and, you know, being sponsor for this conference as well. And, you know, we've got great people that we work with throughout all of our organizations, and you've got to trust your team that they know what they're doing. But, you know, you essentially sort of give them some scope and guidance of, you know, this is the sort of thing we're looking for, but, you know, you've got to give your team the rope to do that. But, you know, your role there is to, you know, champion their cause, of course, and, you know, if they need some help, you know, to jump in and support them, because, you know, you're trying to get the optimal result, not only for your team, but also to achieve, you know, the benefits and the value that you're trying to achieve for your organization as well. So, you know, a sponsor is a very challenging role, but at the same time, it's an incredibly rewarding one, as is, you know, project management. When you get it all right and you, you know, follow good practices, etc., you know, you can do everything and do fantastic things with great teams.
Beautiful, fantastic. So before we remind people where to go to find out more information, so I'm going to check again, because I mean, last year I came into Sydney after the conference, and I presume the timing is the same, because I just experienced one of the greatest evenings of my life, which was actually in the harbour, vivid Sydney going on, just a brilliant evening. Is it the same timing this summer?
Yeah, so it's the same time as Vivid, so we deliberately picked time, so at night time, if you managed to come to Sydney, and we'd love to see you here. You know, we've got a festival called Vivid, so, you know, the Opera House, the Harbour Bridge, all around Darling Harbour, has all of these different light shows and things going on. It's a great thing to see in Sydney every year. So yeah, it's something fun to do with yourself and your family after the conference.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you haven't, you know, if you have a chance of travelling or whatever, just go and check Vivid Sydney. It was incredible evening, very special. Ben, let's remind people, the conference, where is it, when is it, and how do people go and book their places?
Certainly. So the conference is on May 28th to the 30th. So the 29th and the 30th of May are the main days of the conference, of course, this year. It's in Sydney at the Sheraton on the Park. So what you can do is go to www.pmiaustraliaconference.org.au, and you can see there everything you need to do about signing up and finding more information about what you're interested in as well. And we've got our gala dinner on the Monday evening as well. So we're going to be celebrating success of, we've got a number of award categories as well. You know, and saying thank you very much to people and teams that do great things every day that, you know, don't necessarily get the recognition they do, but, well and truly deserve it for a great job.
All right. Excellent. And Twitter hashtag PMIAC17, I see. So. Yeah, all right. Perfect. Ben, I really appreciate your time. I hope it's a fabulous success. And, you know, I'd look forward to hearing how it goes afterwards, perhaps.
All right. Thank you very much, Peter, for having me.
All right. All the best. Bye. Okay, so thank you very much to Ben, and back to the book. I'm going to talk a lot about this because I think it's really important. It's certainly a strong focus for me. It's, as I said, it's how to get fired at the C-level, how mismanaging change is the biggest risk of all. And just an example of this, you know, a four-year study by leadershipIQ.com interviewed 1,000 board members from 286 public and private organizations that fired or otherwise forced out their chief executive. They found the number one reason that CEOs got fired was mismanaging change. And there's you know, it's changes projects. And so the book itself is, you know, looks at this and explores some of the fundamental pillars or foundations for project success. And I offer up 5 challenges to all organizations that are significantly change and therefore project driven. I think there's a challenge of investing in the right portfolio dashboard. That simply means getting a good and an accurate view from the very top. I think there is a challenge of investing in real executive change sponsorship, those who are entrusted with being ultimately responsible for change. There's a challenge of investing in a chief projects officer or similar title. I'm not hung up on the title. Call it what you want. Ideally supported by a very strong PMO, whether that be a project program or portfolio management office. Again, it's whatever's suitable to your business. But it needs to consider and direct the overall change programs across all parts of the business in a kind of coherent manner. I think there's a challenge of investing in the means to know the true status of your strategic change project investment. That's all about having good analysis and good reporting, and ultimately knowing accurately how it's all progressing. The challenge of investing in a professionalising the project capability and competence within the organisation. This is about professionalising your project management. Whilst the executive sponsors are the ones ultimately entrusted with each change, they need the supporting partnership of a really competent project leader. Change is inevitable and risky, and it needs to be taken seriously. That's really what the book is all about. So, you know, if you get a chance, perhaps check it out. It is How to Get Fired at the C-Level, Why Mismanaging Change is the Biggest Risk of All, and, you know, I am very keen to have conversations with organisations wherever. So if you think there's an opportunity to bring me in to help me put the arguments to your executive team or senior management, this is definitely something I'd be interested in talking to you about. So as ever, you can contact me at www.thelazyprojectmanager.com. I'm looking forward to hearing you and looking forward to being with you on the next podcast. Thanks very much, and be lazy. Stay.